good people who have traveled from villages near and far. Lend me your ears.
Hello? Hello? Anybody home?
What's up, Miss Tasty?
What's up, what's up?
Hi there, nice to see you. Bumblebee Tuna? Bumblebee Tuna!
Hello, West Mantooth. Hello, Evening News Team.
You are now listening to another edition of Movie Review Crew.
Welcome to the Goody Room.
But their ability to open is f***ing heroic.
And now, with your permission, I'm going to do my stuff.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to do the best I can.
All right, welcome in, everybody. This is another edition of the Movie Review Crew. I'm your host, Mike Lucas, and joining me is Shane Kronikin.
How's it going?
Aaron Kronikin.
Hello.
And Matt McNeil.
What's up?
Boy, so 2020 is...
We're just getting into that, huh?
Well, I mean, I don't know how else to start this.
Well, because there's no new movies you're talking about, right?
Basically, yes.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Okay. The one distraction...
Garbage year.
Is there something else going on?
Yeah, no, I mean, nothing. Yeah. Let's play a quick game to start this show. If 2020 was in a series of movies... Which series would it fall in? I'm talking like Harry Potter, Jurassic Park.
Twilight.
Nope. There's one right answer, believe it or not.
Star Wars.
No, I mean, as much of a heaping pile as 2020 is, I see where you're going.
That's a good one.
Because in 2020 we've had, we dropped bombs on Iraq and killed basically their VP. I don't know if people forgot about that, but that happened like the first week of the year. And then Kobe Bryant died, and then the coronavirus happened. We've had the murder hornets officially on the U.S. territories, and now there are race riots everywhere. Does anyone want the answer?
Sure.
It's a series of unfortunate events.
Damn it, that was what I was going to say, too.
I mean, that is the right answer.
My guess was going to be Lemony Series, though.
What?
That TV series is fantastic, though. So,
in 2020, it's not. You're right.
Yeah. So my answer, Twilight, was correct.
What,
a steaming pile of dung. Awful, okay. Terrible, worst thing ever made.
If we hit like July and the next thing that happens is like vampires or werewolves, I'll be like, Aaron was right.
Well, yeah.
That actually would be a significant improvement.
Yeah, at least people would be excited about that for like half a second until they realized that like we would get murdered by those.
A lot of little teenage girls like, oh, it's real Twilight. I love you, vampire. And then they'd get murdered because vampires aren't sparkly little romance people.
I'm Team Eddie.
Yeah, And then the vampire would be like, more like Team Deddy.
First of all, he never went by Eddie.
Yeah, no,
that was Edward. No,
that's what all his best friends called him, Eddie. Yeah.
No, they
Eddie
did.
Vamps. Yeah, Eddie yeah. Vamps.
No,
Eddie
I saw Vamps. His best friends playing a game of baseball with him. And not once did they refer to him as Eddie.
Yeah, Eddie Vamps got the heater and the quick. Yeah.
No.
You know?
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah. Well, that's a home run. Nope. Scene. Eddie Vamps will track it down a mile and a half through the forest.
That was the director's cut.
Yeah. And remember when they could only play baseball when it was during a lightning storm?
I remember. Just the worst color filter over the lens and the awful Dutch angles.
Man, let's watch that again.
God,
we could. I will say it moved faster than Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
No doubt. I would have a difficult time choosing which one I would watch right now. I'm not even kidding you.
Other fathers.
I think that's a stretch.
No.
Let's see.
Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy is clearly the better movie. But I will never watch it again.
Look, I understand. We're not. Are we just jumping into this right now?
No.
Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy is the movie on today's episode. We will be getting that in a minute. But before then, what else do we have, Shane?
Well, no discussion points. There wasn't really any big movie news. Last week,
Miss Lippy, you want to talk about movie news and werewolves? Our boy Rye Guy is about to be in the Wolfman movie.
Who's Rye guy?
I'm guessing Ryan Gosling.
Yeah. Yep. All of our favorite actor, Ryan Gosling.
So it'll be, he'll like turn into a werewolf and I'll be like, oh, I'm turning into a werewolf. This is really painful.
Mm-hmm.
Nope, that's too much emotion. Too much emotion. It's Ryan Gosling we're talking about here. The most wooden actor on the planet.
Dude, they did a video featuring all of his acting range.
All this range.
And I don't think he ever said werewolf in there. Is he a werewolf in that movie?
What? No, I mean, he's about to be in the werewolf movie.
Right, but is he about to be a werewolf?
He's about to be the wolf man, yeah.
Okay, well, because he could have been, like, the hunter or,
I don't know,
dead body number two.
Probably that one, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what his acting ability
is. That, yeah, that's a role he could play, a dead body.
Yeah, it's a bit.
Not even the first one, though.
At all.
No, not the main dead body. Number one. Two.
Yeah. Wait, hold on. Are you guys aware that Val Kilmer?
Yes.
Okay. Yep.
He played a dead body in an entire movie.
Just so that it was a low budget Western, and they just needed to use Val Kilmer's face and name on the cover to sell DVDs, and he was the dead body in the movie. It was a movie about transporting a dead body from one place to another, and he was just the dead guy.
Yep.
That's pretty great.
Yeah.
One bit of news I don't think I brought up last week, so it's a bit of old news, but does anybody care that the Justice League Snyder Cut is being released?
Nope, not at all.
Okay, so there's that. We can move on.
Okay, hear me out. Did anyone even see the Justice League?
I did.
Yep.
Yeah.
I saw that in theaters.
Movie was garbage. You saw it in theaters?
Yeah, I did. It was. I saw it for free, in my defense.
You still lost.
It was one of these.
Yeah.
They would have had to pay me.
Uh-huh. I don't know. Hey, getting out of the house when you've got a almost 2-year-old, well, at that point, he'd have been like a super baby.
Yeah. And he was like, this is what your girl, buddy.
It was some promotion, like, oh, if you do this thing for Marcus, you get a free movie. And it was that. And, yeah. Bad. I don't think there's, that's the thing. Like, any version of Snyder Cut for either Justice League or Batman v Superman doesn't turn
a whole movie
into a good movie.
That's my thoughts exactly, is that people have been clamoring for this Snyder Cut. And it's still Snyder. It's just going to be longer junk. It's going to be more junk you haven't seen. I don't understand.
The thing is, Snyder, okay, maybe most of it, some of it's not his fault on that one, because he had to leave the production, I think, when his daughter passed away, if I remember right. Was it his wife? I thought it was his daughter.
Yeah. Either way. Yeah.
Anyway, so he
either way, it's traumatic.
And there was
a
bunch of rewrites, and they had to film things that weren't his idea. But I don't care. It still didn't work. The whole Justice League series of movies is a failure, except for Wonder Woman.
Tragedy or not, Zack Snyder's just not a good director, and I don't know why people have it in their brains that he is.
Yeah. They like his visuals. His visuals fit the comic book style, but
very much so.
I don't know. Plus, the people like 300.
300 was garbage.
No, we looked.
Watchmen was garbage.
It wasn't as bad as people like to say.
No, it was just as bad.
Yeah, but it was fun though.
Yeah, I mean,
Justice League was bad and not fun.
300 sitting at almost a 7, by the way.
Great.
Mike, you actually remembered to pull it. I did pull it up because I figured you'd forget again.
It's not that it's not that I forget, it's that I'm on a different computer.
Oh my god, I forgot,
because
we did 300 because it was our 300th episode.
that's a great idea. Yeah,
that's good marketing.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, at least we have for our 3,000th episode, we can look forward to 3,000 miles to Graceland
or Mr. 3,000.
Thank you. Oh, come on, that's the 3,000 you go for.
Yes. Well, who was that?
I think
movie?
It was Bernie Mac, wasn't
Bernie
it?
Bernie Mac. Yeah.
Yeah.
As a baseball player.
Yep. Yep.
Get 3,000 hits. Totally believable.
Yeah, that's good casting.
Yep.
Anything else? Any other points anybody wants to bring up, or should we head into what we've seen?
There was something that just... Oh, speaking of marketing, hear me out. Oh, the movie review crew reviews the movie The Crew.
Is that a movie?
I think that's just confusing.
The Crew?
Yeah. I think it's on Netflix? Question mark? It's
a crew every movie.
So every time I look up movie review crew in Google, it pops up as reviews of the movie The Crew. And so I figured we just jump on the bandwagon with the movie review crew views the movie crew.
This movie I'm looking at now, my vote is hell no.
Well, I mean, that's also my vote, but
but we got to do what we got to do.
Marketing, man. You already know I'm the marketing guy. We reviewed 300 at 300.
Oh, so, my gosh.
Who's in it?
I can't tell. Is it the French movie? There's a 2015 French movie called The Crew. Apparently, there's a 2008 movie called The Crew. That one has... nobody.
Oh, okay.
Fair.
Okay.
Let's watch them both back to back.
One's British.
Double review.
One's French. Neither look good. Pass.
Nah, you're right. In. We're in. We're doing
what if,
it.
Oh, actually, I see like three of them because I think there's one in like 2000. What if we just do all of them? All right, yeah. That's settled. All right, perfect.
We'll just do that'll be our theme 1 month. It has to have the word crew in the title of the movie.
No, thanks. Let's not do that. Or
it stars Tom Cruise.
No, or Terry Crews.
I'd be okay with Terry Crews.
What else do we got today, Shane?
No more talking points. I didn't see any other news. Does anybody else have any news of
there bad, are a what few an actor things going around in the world that are preventing movie news? So
yeah, there's that. So do we just want to go straight into what we've watched?
Yeah. What have you guys watched lately, Aaron? You got some stuff that you've actually seen?
Yeah, very, very similar to Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy.
Super boring
in both tone and subject. I watched Austin Powers 1 and 2. And...
Did you say similar in tone?
Yeah, it was a joke, obviously.
They're close.
I love those movies. Man, I don't care what you say. Those are some fun movies. I had them just kind of on the background as I was working. But they... man, that guy's funny.
Do you prefer? Which one?
Oh, number two. I think number two is the best of the three. I probably won't even watch the third one again, to be honest.
What? The third one? Watch it. It's so worth it. That one cracks me up.
The mole thing is...
Right? I'm telling you. I'm telling you.
But anyway, Austin Powers 1 and 2. I definitely... I think I... Like, enjoyment factor, A. But just how good... Did you know...
No.
That director that directed those three movies went on to direct, just recently, he did Bombshell. But he does...
Yes, I did know that, actually.
Really?
He does actual, you know, you wouldn't think a guy that would do this Austin Powers, that's kind of low-brow type of stuff, and then he goes and does Bombshell.
What's the guy that directed Joker?
Not Observer Report. The due date and stuff like that. Like
he came from comedy.
He did The Hangovers.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
But yeah, I suppose. The guy Jay Roach is his name. He did just recently did Bombshell. He did.
He produced Trumbo.
He directed Trumbo.
Well, and produced it, I guess, as well.
Yeah. So he went from like lowbrow comedy to
Dinner for Schmucks.
Many consider. Oscar-worthy movies. Not Dinner for Schmucks. That's not an Oscar-worthy.
He also did Meet the Parents and Meet the Fockers.
Yeah.
Interesting. I actually, going off that, I watched the first one not too long ago as well, like within the last 2 weeks.
Austin Powers?
Yes.
Good. It's worth it. It's available to stream. It's hilarious. It's fast. It's short.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was...
Man, are those on Netflix?
They are.
Yeah. Yep. All three of them.
They are. They're silly, man. I don't know if I touched on this before, but they were talking about when Daniel Craig became James Bond, and this was like the writer, director, producer and stuff, that they really needed to go darker with the Daniel Craig James Bond, because James Bond has always been a little like tongue-in-cheek-ish, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and then they were like, well, and then these Austin Powers came out, and they did every single trope that we could have done, so we had to make it different.
Yeah,
and that's
yeah,
why
that's, that happens. So different. It's weird. You know, the same thing happened for the Batman series, where it's like, oh, God, look what Joel Schumacher did to this. We have to make this next one way super serious.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It's interesting that Austin Powers affected James freaking Bond.
Okay, so interesting segue. The writer of Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy directly was affected by James Bond, because it's John Le Carre, I believe is how you pronounce it, and he actually worked in the intelligence, British intelligence, and he just thought how absurd these James Bond movies, and he wanted to write these novels that were more real, like spies. You know, George Smiley is a older kind of pudgy, balding guy that, I mean, the author, John Le Carre, said he's a guy that you would see and just instantly forget about, just blend in the background.
And it worked perfectly, because everybody knows that accurate real life is way more exciting than
it is.
Hollywood script.
It is.
It's not.
It's not. Here's where you're wrong. I've seen Fast Five, and they... Or was it Fast 4? I don't know. Whichever stupid ass
movie. I'll let you know.
They're all dumb.
They're all the same, Mike. It doesn't matter.
They pull a bank vault through this.
Yes. Number 5.
Okay, yep.
And so, when he turns, it just follows him instead of all that weight and momentum just yanking his car.
To be fair, we don't know what adjustments they made to those cars. So,
here's a little bit of trivia. I was watching some behind the scenes. I like to watch behind the scenes, regardless of how bad the movie is. But I was watching this thing, and they were actually talking about the Fast and Furious movies and how they pull off these stunts. That vault was, they just put this big vault shaped thing on the chassis of a car, and there's a guy in there driving,
he's chasing him, and he's drifting behind them to simulate the pull. Yeah.
Interesting.
So no, it has the physics of a car, not a vault.
I mean, hey, you don't know that.
Yeah, again,
I'm sure I've never tried to.
We don't know what kind of vault.
Yeah, right.
So I
have to mention that he literally ripped the vault out of the concrete wall with his car.
You know what accurately portrayed dragging a vault behind a car? The Dukes of Hazzard. If there's one thing that movie did right,
true that.
That and Jessica Simpson in shorty shorts, but
yeah, fair. There's two things that movie did right.
So I watched a couple things. I know you guys are going to be all hating, but here's the deal. Fans of action movies know Scott Adkins and love Scott Adkins and love. Well, go ahead.
You're so lucky. I don't have a mute button.
Yeah. You know.
There's got to be a way.
Ooh, detailed review of Debt Collectors. No. So I watched the movie Debt Collectors, which is a sequel to.
2018
Lord. Movie. You guys hate, but you haven't seen them. People that watch action movies know these movies are.
You know who doesn't watch action movies? Guy that picks Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy.
Oh, dear God. We know. You pick movies completely devoid of any, nearly movement. It's almost just a still screen. Anyways, Debt Collector is absolutely fantastic. I loved every bit of it. I think it's better than the first. Jesse V. Johnson shoots action better than almost anybody working today. That one, I give it a B+. It was as far as like low budget action movies go, it's hard to do any better than that. The second one I watched, oh my God, movie called Body Cam.
My thoughts too. Oh my God,
is that a cop movie?
Well, and the premise was, so the premise sounded interesting. So essentially, Mary J. Blige plays a cop.
Oh,
there's the thing.
Come on. Okay,
can we move on?
No. So listen, the premise though.
Said.
So this cop goes missing, and they go to the scene, and the body cam shows what looks like supernatural stuff going on. So it's almost like a
whoa,
like your typical. You're right. And so it's like, that's different. That's unique. So they're trying to figure out what happened to this cop, and it's almost like a like Training Day, but horror. The concept is interesting. The movie.
Speaking of Training Day type of things, did any of you see the trailer for God, what's his name? The guy that played the Punisher in the
Thomas Jane.
Thomas Jane has a new movie. Old movie.
Yeah, that's it. That came out last year. I already watched.
Oh,
that.
Did it? Okay, because it's like
they're re-releasing.
What terrible it in a timing title. With what's going on to right, release a movie about a
well, a and cop that's the other thing
to
too.
Justify violence.
That's the thing about body cam is it's about that. It's about the police brutality and race comes into play. So it's
didn't that it, exact same movie come out last year?
Which one?
They have a movie like that every year.
The cop body cam, she witnesses like.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was more of a straight up action movie. That was called Black and Blue. This one's more of a supernatural thriller, but the elements, they just don't work. It's the acting's terrible. The writing is atrocious. The directing is everything about it is absolutely horrible. It is 100% an F. Never watch it. Never. It's not as interesting. Okay. It has nothing to say.
I didn't even know it that it existed until just now, so you don't have to worry about me watching it.
In case you were interested in watching Mary J. Blige as a veteran police officer, don't fall for it. I know that's a strong hook, but don't buy it.
You know what? Time out though. Like Mary J. Blige at one point was a pretty prominent like rap hip hop producer, like rapper. And
have a filmography. I'm looking this up.
Yes, no, she was in what was that movie that Mudbound? She was in that one. She's
stuff. Okay.
She was
nominated for two Oscars.
She's very good. And she did what she could with this. The role was just so poorly written and just not fleshed out enough. Nothing mattered in this movie.
Oscar nominee for best actor in body cam. I'm just kidding.
Upcoming Oscar nominee for Trolls World Tour.
That's right. That is right. Yeah. Everybody knows.
Shane, do you have anything else?
No, that's what I watched. One very good for fans of the genre, and one
not so
a complete mess. Absolutely horrible.
All right. Let's get into Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy then while we have the time. Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, it's from 2011. It's a rated R film, 2 hours and 2 minutes long. Drama, mystery, thriller film. In the bleak days of the Cold War, espionage veteran George Smiley, as Gary Oldman, is forced from semi-retirement to uncover a Soviet agent within MI6. Directed by Thomas Alfredson and written by, or adapted to the screen by Bridget O'Connor and Peter Strohan. And the novel written by John Le Carré, starring Gary Oldman, Colin Firth, Tom Hardy, Mark Strong, John Hurt, Mance Rayder.
This has got a lot of people.
Oh my God, this dude said Mance Rayder. Oh my God.
Yeah, he did.
I'm sitting here like, who the hell
is Mance Rayder? I mean, in his defense, Mance Rayder, I don't know how to pronounce it. I believe it's Kiaran. Hines, maybe.
Benedict Cumberbatch. Where's Kiaran Hines? Because I honestly,
Toby Jones is also in it. People would know who he is. Yeah. He plays the guy that takes over as the leader of
MI6,
the circus as they call it.
Interesting. Okay, so here, I was. Does anyone know anything else that Mance Rayder has been in?
Yes, are you kidding me?
No, because I was like, God, that dude looks familiar. God, that dude looks familiar.
He's very good in a lot of things. He just never plays. He's always the site. I mean, he was in First Man. He was in great TV series called The Terror.
Yeah, that was very, very good.
Very good in that.
Everyone was good in that.
All right.
See what I mean? He's one of those faces, though. You're right, where it's like, damn, I've seen that guy before.
Right, like what do I know him from?
He played Aberforth Dumbledore, whoever the heck that is, in Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows.
Interesting. I'll see if Laura knows that.
It's Dumbledore's really big brother, by the way.
Oh, sure. Nobody cares.
Okay.
Yeah. He's a lot of stuff.
Okay. Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy on Rotten Tomatoes gets an 83% certified fresh from critics, giving it a score of 7.79 out of 10, an audience score of 65%, and a score of almost 7. The critics' consensus, Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy is a dense puzzle of anxiety, paranoia, and espionage that director Thomas Alfredson pieces together with utmost skill. Also, the film is nominated for 3 Oscars, I believe.
Yes, I believe.
Do they do Oscars for most boring movie now?
They do.
Okay, so that's one.
Dense this is the perfect word that I would use to describe this movie.
Okay. Gary Oldman, hold on.
Best performance by an actor in a leading role for Gary Oldman. Best adapted.
What? This is Gary Oldman's first nomination.
Was a Lifetime Achievement Award then, because he did nothing in this.
Okay, we'll talk about it. Okay. Continue.
Best adapted screenplay and achievement in music written for most motion pictures.
Yeah, those two I don't mind.
All right, so, gosh, let Aaron pick it and why.
Yeah. Okay. So the director I really like. I like 2 of his movies. This, and he also did Let the Right One In, which is another movie that's very slow and driven by atmosphere. And
that
characters.
One's actually good, though.
Right, and there's actually tension and atmosphere.
There's atmosphere in this movie. That's why I like Tinker Tailor. It's like I said before, it's like an anti-James Bond. It's just there doesn't have to be car chases and action and blow-ups and shootouts. And this is like spy
stuff. That's what I want from a spy movie.
Okay, that's what you
also. If you go back and watch the Sean Connery, the very first couple, that they aren't fast-paced action blockbusters like they are now, like the Bond movies are now, but they still had excitement and interesting locales instead of this apartment, that apartment, and a padded room. Like, that was the 3 sets they shot on. It was...
They also did Children's School.
Oh, yeah. Bleak, rainy school ground. That was the 4th set.
With bad CGI owl.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that. That was the best scene in the movie. That was the only good scene.
Yeah, my wife said, he didn't have to kill it. He could have just put the fire out. Whatever. I think it's showing you a little bit about the guy.
Did you see later in the movie, by the way, when Gary Oldman goes in? The owl's mounted on the wall.
I did not see that.
I didn't catch that either.
Trophy. Yeah.
Gary Oldman, hold on. Gary Oldman walks in and he's just staring at something, and Mark Strong turns around and he's like, no, over here. And he's staring at the owl on the wall.
I probably was dozing off. And
oh, God. I think, yes, it is dense. Yes, it is slow. I think, though, Gary Oldman's performance, while maybe I wouldn't say it's Oscar worthy, but it is a nuanced, good performance. And I like the fact that it's not this suave ladies man of a James Bond character. It's a broken man who happens to be good at what he does. And it is like he's not one to, he hides everything.
I get that, but that makes for an uninteresting. None of these people are interesting in the least bit. None of them are likable in the least bit. None of them are. I was not able to connect to any of them on any level. They all might as well be the same character. They're all the same person.
They basically, like, I legit had trouble telling people apart.
And these are fantastic they all, actors.
They all felt like the same character.
Yes, all of them are fantastic actors, but they're all playing people with zero personality, so the actors are allowed to do nothing. Nothing.
I will say I also felt kind of along those lines where I couldn't tell who was who. Like, I know George Smiley because that's Gary Oldman.
Yeah.
Can't tell you another name. literally cannot.
Really?
I couldn't tell you who's the Tinker, the Tailor, the Soldier, and the Spy, if that's even a thing. I think that was like a thing with chess pieces and shit.
Also, what a stupid name for a movie.
Let's talk about this. Well, it's based on a nursery rhyme with Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy. There's Beggar Man and Poor Man. And so these were the code names he used when John Hurt used when trying to find a mole. And they were all assigned these code names. That's where it comes from. But the overarching, just to kind of hopefully break it down in a simple way, John Hurt's character is he's control. He's the leader of this, what they call the circus, this intelligence area. He knows or finds out that there is a mole within these top five people that he works with. And he sends somebody to try to get the information. Turns out that was just a trap. Everything goes bad. John Hurt's character and Gary Oldman's character get fired. And then years later, another piece of information pops up from Tom Hardy's character that, yes, there is indeed a mole. And they bring back Gary Oldman's character to find it. That's your story in a nutshell.
See, so what you just said was a lot easier to follow than the
comment. What happened?
Hard.
To me, though,
I like these types of movies. The slow burn, the character-driven, the dense storyline where you're trying to guess who's who and who's involved in what. So I was fully invested, and I think maybe it was just a different mindset going into it. If you start out and you said, this isn't one I'm gonna like, this is boring, I don't want to follow along, then yeah, there's no point. No,
I don't think so, because I love these types of movies. How many times we've seen these undercover movies where somebody's trying to infiltrate or find things out? And I mean, you're talking about Donnie Brasco, The Departed, things like that. There are scenes of tension and intrigue and mystery, and there's none of that here.
The whole thing's mystery.
Okay, but it's not interesting mystery. It's not mystery that anyone cares about.
I did. I liked the fact that, okay, so you know the problem. One of these four other people that Gary Oldman was very good friends with is a mole and is responsible for the deaths of however many people.
Right.
So, and then you get the backstory not only of Gary Oldman's character, who's this broken character, and his wife cheated on him with his friend Bill, and you have the
did
the
she? Backstory. I missed all of that.
Oh my word!
No, okay, that one, that one's on you.
Yeah,
that's pretty. It was the scene where and to give this movie credit, I will give it credit. There were many scenes like that where things were shown and not told.
Exactly. So,
I don't want it to seem like I'm hating on it for that, because I did love that scene. They didn't come out and say that. There was not even a conversation about it happening. It was just the images of he's hinting that he was there, the wife was in bed, he's putting on his shoes, why weren't his shoes, like it's all shown. The same thing with the whole scene with Benedict Cumberbatch breaking up with his boyfriend.
Oh, yes.
There was no dialogue. It was all imagery and showing you things to explain what's going on. There were many instances of that, and I appreciate that. I did enjoy that about this movie.
Well, and that's where I don't understand, though. You've got the scenes that, yes, this is a reserved character, George Smiley. I mean, it's a character that doesn't show his cards. He keeps everything to himself. He doesn't let it affect what's going on around. He doesn't let people see what's going on. So you get these little glimpses, like when he sees his wife cheating with Bill Hader and he breaks down, when he's drunk with Benedict Cumberbatch and telling the story about when he met Carla and how. So
did you just say Bill Hader?
Bill Hayden? Oh. I think it's Hayden. I said Hader, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
The comedian.
I wish it was Bill Hader. Maybe right. I would have been awake.
Yeah. Bill Hader. Bill Hayden. SNL comes in.
A little bit of a slip there for me. Bill Hayden.
Since they're all the same person, you could just throw in different hair pieces and play them all.
I mean, Bill Hader probably could pull it off. He's pretty good at impressions.
I love Bill Hader.
Oh my God. But anyway, I think the little glimpses of character nuance that you get, that's where somebody like Gary Oldman shines.
And I don't mind movies like that, but you need to give me a person. You need to give me a character. Mm-hmm. You need to give me something to relate to, something to grasp onto, some reason to like this person. None of these people were likable. You
don't have to have the charm.
Something is my point. Anything. Even if I despise you, I just literally didn't care about
anything. Pretty much everybody in this movie was a giant Ambien.
You're right.
The thing that I like, I don't care if the characters are charismatic and this and that. The thing that I think really got me is the plot was way too damn convoluted. I couldn't tell at first when that they were doing flashbacks and when they were doing and you're trying to figure it out, which again, it's a spy movie. You're part of the spying at this point. You have to figure it all out as it goes.
It did give you a very easy tell. Like at the beginning of the movie, he's wearing one set of glasses and he goes in and during this montage, he has the eye exam and he has these big square frame glasses that Smiley's known for. And in any flashback, it's Smiley. There's your tell.
In present time, they're dark brown, and then when it flashes back, they're brown.
Very different. And the fact that, Predo is anytime John Hurt's there, you know it's a flashback because he died. Predo obviously aged.
Not necessarily true because we saw Mark Strong die, and then we flashed to the present, which I thought was the past, because he's back alive. That's the other side of my point, though, is if the characters are not interesting, the filmmaking and the story has to be what engages me, and that wasn't there either.
I think it's all there. It's just it's too damn convoluted because there's also the subplot of wanting to get U.S. intelligence, which does not really come into play a whole
lot. It does. So the whole thing is
it comes into play as the point of everything.
Percy, the head of control that took over for John Hurt, came up with this this operation where he had this Russian that would give him information in exchange for what the British were handing over, which was crap information, which then the British intelligence would trade that Russian information for top-level U.S. information. So in his mind, he's trading low-level British information for high-level Russian and U.S. information. So it turns out, though, Bill Hayden's character is orchestrating all of this with the Russians and handing over all of it's the opposite of what they actually think. They're handing all the good stuff, and the Russians aren't giving them anything.
And the whole entire point is to use the MI6 as the middleman to get U.S. intelligence. They don't even care about the MI6.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I 100% agree with Mike though. It's all too much. It's all too slow. There should have been more intense scenes, more paranoia, more.
I was gonna say more like the stakes. I don't feel like the stakes were. High.
There were no stakes at all.
Yeah.
The other hand, Tom Hardy doesn't do a stupid voice, so I'm really struggling on where I'm going to rate this movie.
There is that.
I don't know if I brought this up, but I saw a review of Tom Hardy's new movie where he plays, does he play Al Capone?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, anyway.
In the movie Capone, he does play Al Capone.
I didn't know what the freaking movie was. All I saw was a review.
Hold on, that's Capone? I thought it was Cap One.
Oh, yeah, you're right. He plays Al Cap One,
his
brother.
But anyway, the
founder of Capital One.
The title of the review for good lord.
That was actually a pretty good joke.
Alfred Cap One.
Yep.
What's in your
Anyway, so going back to Tom Hardy, and his voice thing, the title of a review for that Capone movie was just Tom Hardy continues his quest to never sound like a human being. what he does. But in this movie, he's just a British dude with the normal, not an actual human voice. So
as opposed to the other time he played a British dude. When he played those two brothers, and you couldn't understand a damn thing he said.
Yeah, that was rough.
Oh, you think darkness is your ally, right, Mike?
Oh, you think darkness is your ally. So going back to this movie, though,
I was
you mentioned in the dark. You mentioned one of the Oscars was for music. I did enjoy the music.
Yeah,
it was it had that old school spy movie feel mm-hmm. to it. It was mm-hmm. Almost like a noir movie mixed with like that old school spy movie. The music was very good. That's about all that was good.
Cinematography, I love.
Dude, I like
it was a very pretty looking movie.
Yes.
Looking at these Oscar nominations, I was actually kind of surprised it did not get a cinematography nod.
And this is the same. Did you look up the filmography? This is Hoyt Van Hoytema, the same guy.
Hoyt Van Hoyt.
It is.
Damn it.
Anyway, I don't know how to say it, but.
Shoots scenes with his pinky out.
Action. Just based on the name alone. No, but this is the guy that works with Christopher Nolan. He did all of those. He just did recently, he did Ad Astra. He's going to do the new Tenet movie.
Yeah, he did Interstellar, Dunkirk. Interesting.
So he's
I was being facetious, but the movie does look very good.
Yeah.
Even some of the shot selections and transitions and all of that, very good.
The way that they were able to shoot, I assume on actual film stock, and it looks like it's a movie from the 70s, like height of the Cold War era.
Yeah, it does. It looks properly dated, I guess, if that makes sense.
And that one shot—they
really turned up the film grain.
I don't know about that.
No, I think, dude, it's legit though, because that shot, like when the plane is landing behind, I don't know the name of the character threatening to deport.
I forgot the character.
And that plane is still Esther probably House. 50 feet behind him. But it makes it look like it's right on top of them.
Yeah, there were a few scenes like that shot very well. A lot of it was filmed very well.
Yeah.
John Hurt was in this movie for 10 minutes and was brilliant. Going back to acting, we can't leave John Hurt out. He's like a legend in the biz.
And he was the only one that showed any emotion.
Yep.
He got angry and yelled at people. So I guess there was that.
Yep.
I don't know. Being serious though, I can't think of the actor's name that played Bill Hader.
Which one was John Hurt?
John Hurt was the
one that looked like John Hurt.
Colin Firth.
Colin Firth was also very, very good. Yeah. But he also had some of the most limited screen time. But his role was the most interesting, and he was very good in what he was asked.
I will say, like,
and one thing. Sorry to cut you off, Mike.
Go ahead. Thing
on that same topic, it does a good job of giving you these little glimpses of things without, you know, a movie. It's a movie that you're following along and finding things out with Gary Oldman's character. It's not one of these movies that I just don't like, is where we know the answer and we're watching a guy figure it out the whole time.
Yeah.
In this one, you know, you get little subtle clues, but don't play the cards until the end.
Yeah. I think that this movie I think we all would benefit. And I think Aaron's been in this boat where we would all benefit from a second viewing. Right. And I think that would raise our scores. There's no way in hell I want to watch it a second time though.
No, right? Because this is one of the hardest movies I've ever had to get through. Like this is damn near what was that stupid ass Gosling movie?
But no, don't even.
This is only near that.
Drive. Yeah, that movie was bad.
Boring.
Wrong. You're so wrong. I couldn't even finish Only God Forgives.
Yeah, that's a HNL, whole nother level.
This felt like a 4-hour movie.
All right. It did.
It was horrible.
I would much rather go back and watch like a good mystery movie, like The Thing.
I mean, you want to talk about proper feeling of paranoia? I mean, that's one of the best ever. But still, at least there you had it.
We only have about a few minutes left, guys. Are there other topics you want to hit on before we do some this or that?
I think we've touched on all we can.
Let's wrap it up.
Yeah, okay. Let's rate it real quick.
One thing I wanted to say, though, is Aaron said that, like, if you go into this movie and have a negative mindset, this and that, yes, you will probably not like it if you're
There's a certain type of movie goer that would like this, and
for sure,
it's you.
Well, it's me and a lot of people. Look at those scores.
Yeah, and I actually I think I agree with Aaron more than probably anyone else on the show, and I still don't know if this movie is for me. Like, and I looked at the actors in this, and this had been on my watch list forever.
Everything is there for it to be an exceptional movie, and it wasn't.
Yeah. I don't, again, like, I might want to visit this like another 5 years down the road, but not
anytime. You go ahead. I won't.
Yeah.
I'll watch it again for sure. I guess I'll kick it off then for the rating.
Yeah. Do you think
it's a movie I like, as I told you guys in the text when I picked it, I like everybody involved. I like the story. The music is fantastic. Cinematography is great. I give it a 7 out of 10. I really do enjoy it. I've seen it multiple times, and I will watch it again.
Yeah, I am going to go. I'll go next. This movie, and it pains me to say this, but it's only getting a 5 from me. Like, it's not an F by any stretch of the imagination, but I feel like the actors were hampered by the script, and your cinematography and music are great, but the story is not enough for me to give it anything higher than a 5.
I completely agree. It's too well made and good looking to be an F, and there are things that it does right as far as showing, not telling, different camera works. It's too well made to be an F, but as a movie and entertainment and watchability, it is an F. I'm giving it a 4.5. It's bad. I'll never ever watch it again, and I hate the fact that I had to spend like 16 hours of my life watching.
I'm right in between Shane and Mike. I'm giving it a 4.75 because it is a very good looking, well made movie. But as I was telling Aaron before we started recording, 2 hours after I finished the movie, I couldn't remember how it ended. And as great of a cast as you have here, for the movie to be this boring is just, for me, it's unacceptable.
Yeah. I want to make one more point that I brought up, I think in our text group. This movie did what I previously thought was impossible. It made Gary Oldman one of the most interesting actors working, and
my thing is, Gary Oldman played this character perfectly based on the novel and how Jean Le Carré wrote.
Sure, but
I don't blame him.
That's just a fault of the writing, then.
Yep.
No, I don't blame him. Perfect. Okay. Well, sure.
Yeah. we've already debated it. So 5.32 is the final score for Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
The D plus.
Yes, a D plus. Go to our website, moviereviewcrew.com. Please request movies right from our homepage. We love hearing our listener requests. I think we had like a list of like 6 movies just get requested. Like,
yes.
2 ago. Let's knock one of those out, at least one of those out, just so we can, you know, make sure our listeners feel.
I'm always down with doing listener requests.
I still think that there were a bunch of Prove It movies that we never got to.
Yeah, there's that too. Yeah. I'll compile a list of all the requests and send it to everybody.
Yes. We're also on Letterboxd. At least I am. I update that pretty frequently. MRC Mike, Movie Review Crew Mike on Letterboxd. It's an app that you can rate movies. I don't know if you guys still use that at all.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I haven't been using it as much because I'm not actively watching movies, but every time I do watch a movie, I put it up on Letterboxd.
Yep. And Shane?
Yeah, I haven't been caught up, but I love that app. It's a fantastic app. I will get caught up eventually.
We're not sponsored by them in any way, shape, or form. We just think it's a great tool to interact with our users.
Letterboxd, give us money.
Yeah, we're not desperate though.
Yeah, but like whatever, if you want it though. Yeah.
Right.
So 5.32 for Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, this or the 2018 Suspiria.
Oh.
I think, again, I was the only one that liked
Suspiria,
that
movie. I think I'd go Suspiria.
I hated that movie, and I'll watch that.
I go this. This or JCVD?
This.
This 100%.
I'm out of here.
This or Dave Made a Maze?
This.
This.
Oh, God.
That.
Death.
That, 100%. Death. This or Black Mass?
Black Mass.
Oh, Black Mass.
This or Moon?
This.
Moon.
I haven't even seen
Moon. Moon didn't hold up as well as I thought it would, but it's still more interesting. And the performance is still fantastic.
This or Mother?
Oh, my God. This?
Yeah, this.
I don't know.
All right. That'll be the last one we do. We have less than a minute left on our time.
Oh, sorry.
Solid. Yeah. So 5.32 for, God, what movie did we? Tinker Taylor.
Tinker Taylor.
That's how. That's how.
I hate you guys.
Ridiculous. All right. Anything else, guys?
No.
That is it.
Nope.
All right. Join us next week. Someone in the show.
Tell your friends.
Say friends.
Let's go. But inconspicuously. Through the window.
Lady, I'm afraid I'm going to have to ask you to leave the store.
Okay, that's it. Screw you guys. I'm going home.
Game over, man. Game over. What are we going to do now? What are we going to do?
Good night. And good luck.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Movie Review Crew. Remember to like us and find us on any of your favorite social media platforms, as well as go to our website, moviereviewcrew.com.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.